Please consider the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. when you think about your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2016, we're approximately $78,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
War objects have landed around the world.
This is one of 12.
I'm never going to be able to speak their words.
Got 2 days.
Figure something out.
I am human.
It's their language. We need to make sure that they understand the difference between a weapon and a tool. Language is messy, and sometimes one can be both.
Are you dreaming in their language?
It's possible they're prodding us to fight among ourselves.
This is just a way to force us to work together for once.
It's more complicated than that.
How is it more complicated?
Russia just executed one of their own to keep their secret.
Got 21 hours
before they start global war.
So how do we clarify their intentions?
I go back in.
Why does this feel worse?
That's an excerpt from the movie Arrival, Aliens. This is a familiar scenario by now. Aliens arrive on Earth, and what ensues afterwards is confusion. Are they here to harm? Are they here to help? Are they here to invade? Or are they here to somehow save us from ourselves? All those are kind of the common scenarios of the alien invasion and or arrival movie. This one is called Arrival, and it deals with the very kind of scenario we're talking about here. But what's the worldview behind so many of these alien arrival films? We're going to be reviewing that movie with Pastor Ted Giese here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, December the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. A little bit later, we'll spend some time with Pastor Chris Rosebro. A little bit early, we're doing This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about some of the voices you might hear if you were to listen to the prophets on the Elijah list. I didn't know what the Elijah list was until this afternoon, and you'll find out as well here in about a half hour with Pastor Chris Rosebro of Fighting for the Faith. Jennifer Law will join us after that. There's a lawsuit filed on behalf of frozen embryos. It's not the only one that's ever been filed, but this one has to do with Sofia Vergara, famous television star. Her embryos have been frozen. She's breaking up with her boyfriend, I think former husband. They are the mother and father of these embryos. She wants them destroyed. He does not want them destroyed. That's the lawsuit. We'll talk a little bit about that and the ethics of in vitro fertilization. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will round everything off on this Thursday afternoon with Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be in the psalm for this coming Sunday, Psalm 146. Put not your trust in princes. Feel free to join us with your questions or your comments over the next 2 hours of Issues Etc. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line. Whenever, wherever you listen, you can use it. 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to review the movie Arrival and other alien invasion films, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He is pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
This is just the latest of many of these films, and you say that Arrival is best understood in its genre, and then also in the context of that genre, the worldview that often is behind it. What is the genre? Give us some examples, if you would, and what's the worldview?
Yeah, this is the alien invasion genre, or you could say the alien arrival genre, like you had mentioned before. And really, it breaks down into two main categories, and there's some subgenres in that. But the two categories are we come in peace, so peaceful aliens, or we don't come in peace. So that would be the invasion proper kind of a thing. Now, the interesting thing about this movie Arrival is it came out right before or right on the cusp of the season of Advent. And, of course, in the season of Advent, we think of the second coming of Christ. So we'll talk about that more in a minute. But it's kind of funny how sometimes these movies kind of just line up with the seasons of the church year. Again, like when I saw Hail Caesar by the Coen brothers, that's a movie, you know, that came out during Lent earlier this year. And it was really about repentance and confession and absolution. And it had a real Lenten kind of feel to the whole thing. So here we are with this movie Arrival, starring Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner playing scientists trying to speak to these aliens who have arrived. And we don't know if they're good aliens or bad aliens, why they're here, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, Forrest Whitaker is in there as a military general who's recruited these guys to try to talk to these aliens. There are people all over the world. There's 12 of these big obelisk kind of shaped things that drop. And then people are trying to talk to them. Some of them are in places like China. And, of course, China has a big military, and they're trying to figure out what to do, and they're on the cusp of just wanting to attack. So the question is, can humanity work together, or are we going to be, you know, jerks all over the place around the world? The movie opens with the woman's, Amy Adams' character, Dr. Banks' daughter, being born and dying. That's the way the movie starts. So in a way, if you think of a movie like Gravity with Sandra Bullock from a couple of years ago that dealt with grief, this movie deals with grief too. So this isn't like Ray Guns in terms of sci-fi. This is more of a drama. It's thinking kind of stuff. It's been in theaters for a little while. So, you know, like we may be spoiling some things, but you kind of have to talk about it. Anyways, it fits into that genre. So in the end, it turns out that this is a we come in peace kind of, it fits into that genre. So again, those two genres, we come in peace, movies that would fit into that genre of alien arrival movies or alien invasion movies would be like movies like Superman, Close Encounter of the Third Kind, The Abyss, Explorers, things like that. Those would be more of the friendly alien type of things. The not friendly alien type of things would be like Mars Attacks, War of the Worlds, Independence Day, Battle of Los Angeles v. Jupiter Ascending, that kind of stuff.
You say that these have very strong apocalyptic overtones. They're kind of the world's version of Judgment Day. Talk about that.
Yeah, this is an interesting thing. So I think that often with certain genres, you get this kind of Christian doctrine kind of turned on its head. So in a way, here we are celebrating the season of Advent. We're looking forward to the return of Christ. When Christ returns, everyone's going to know. And that's often the way these movies are set up. Big spaceships show up and everybody in the world knows. It's on all the news channels. Everybody knows what's going on. And then the question is this arrival one of wrath or is it one of mercy? That's the question. And I think a lot of people have that kicking around the back of their head when they think of the last day and the return of Christ. So this was something that was on Martin Luther's mind. He would see these pictures of Christ in judgment on the last day, and they'd be like right over the altar where you're about to receive Holy Communion. And he saw Christ as a terrible figure and didn't see him as the loving Christ who died for his sins, right? So people have different feelings about what, you know, ultimately a last day would be like. So swap out Christ, swap in aliens, and then you kind of have this sort of picture. It's one way to look at this whole notion of the alien invasion movie. It's kind of a, you know, a non-religious viewpoint on this kind of idea.
And generally, in that scenario, mankind is kind of viewed as a whole. There's no, it's not, you know, it's not an individual judgment. It's a Christian view of the end times would teach. So it's kind of man is judged as a en masse, and usually has to do with how humanitarian we were, or of late, how well we took care of the planet, something like those things.
Exactly. So think of this in terms of the judgment placed on humanity, right? You can think of movies instantly that fit into this kind of category. So let's say Star Trek IV, you know, the journey home. This is one where the aliens show up to talk to the whales, and of course, mankind has ruined the planet. There's no whales anymore, and now they're being judged for being poor stewards of the planet, right? So then they got to go back in time, find some whales, bring it back to the present in the future, Captain Kirk and the, you know, all of the Star Trek guys to do that. So this again is one of those things where, yeah, it's judgment and it's judgment on math. And I think for the Christian, when we think of the last day, you know, there's a couple things to kind of keep in mind. So one thing is what Jesus says about it. So if you don't mind, like from Luke chapter 21, Jesus says, and there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. So that is what Jesus says about the last day, him being the Son of Man returning. And everybody's going to see it, but he says that it's going to be a great thing, like a wonderful thing. So the Christian doesn't have fear of the last day and Christ's return.
In this movie, I guess the kind of suspenseful question that you say eventually gets answered is, why are they here? What do they want? For someone who likes their alien films to have kind of a clear view of the aliens, a clear view of what's going on, a real encounter, like we had in, say, Close Encounter of the Third Kind, eventually you get to see what was going on. Then if you did the extended version, Spielberg's extended version, you got to see the inside of the ship and everything. It was amazing. Does that deliver in this way, or is it more mysterious?
Well, they hold the mystery going for quite a long time. And again, like I said, it's a movie that surrounds on the idea of grief, right? It's built on that. These aliens are called heptapods by the humans because they have seven limbs and they, you know, kind of shoot out like an ink kind of thing, and they talk in circles, and they got to figure all of that stuff out. The main character is a linguist, and that's why she's there. So in the end, what it turns out to be is that the language itself, the very words that the aliens speak, if you learn that language, it alters who you are in terms of your perception of time. So then Amy Adams' character, this Dr. Banks, starts to see things from her future. So she, in her mind, she's having flash forwards to future events. You discover that this whole thing with the daughter dying at the beginning, like her birth and death at the beginning of the movie by cancer, that isn't something that happened chronologically where you think it happened as the movie starts. And this is the big spoiler. That's actually something that's going to happen in the future. Her mind has been sufficiently altered to be able to see all that. And through that experience of raising that child and the child being born and dying, in the midst of those events in the future help her learn the language that she needs to learn that then helps, you know, the situation that she's currently in with these aliens that have arrived. And essentially, the aliens did this in order to gain help from humans 3,000 years into the future. So they're there for their own reasons to get some help. They need a good Samaritan, and they found it in the character of Dr. Banks.
Is there as we often discuss, kind of a Christ theme in the movie Arrival?
I think that there kind of is in this way, and a lot of people aren't going to like this necessarily, but I think the Christian watching it can latch onto this. When she knows what's coming in the future, she has a choice as to whether or not to live out that life. You know, whether or not she's going to, you know, get married, have that kid, and knowing that that kid is going to grow up and then die of cancer, that there's going to be a tragic event in her future. So just like Christ prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, if there's any other way, can this cup be taken away from me? Not my will, but your will be done. And then he actually goes through with what he knows is coming. And in a way, she does that too. She's a character who knows the pain that's coming and still goes forward in it. and even asks the question near the end of the film, if you know what's going to happen next, would you do it anyways? And she decides to do it. And she does it for, I guess, herself, but also it seems like for the greater good. And it's not a selfish set of choices, it doesn't seem like. It's more selfless. So in that way, there is a kind of a Christ-like analogy that can be made there in this movie.
Now, you also note that so many of these Alien Arrival movies are built around what is what you call a Gnostic kind of spirituality. What is it? And then does this film avoid that or does it play into it?
I think in this particular case, it kind of avoids it because it's so visceral, you know, like it's really about an actual life and death in this child that she's going to have. So the body is not disregarded in this way. I think that is kind of an important detail in this particular movie. In terms of like Gnosticism, like where this movie kind of edges into that area of things is that it's so focused on the idea of knowledge that, you know, attaining the knowledge to be able to speak the language then makes this miraculous change. And it's really on the part of the individual figuring it out. We would say that, you know, the Word of God is efficacious, that the Holy Spirit works through it on us and for the benefit of our eternally, for our bodies, that we would be risen from the dead and have a physical body for all eternity. So, you know, it kind of could zig, but I think because of all of the focus on that literal life and death of that daughter that she's going to have, it zags probably into the better direction.
Finally, take a minute or so and contrast the advent of the aliens that is this now common literary and film scenario for us and the advent that the church is celebrating right now.
Well, I think one of the things that we can focus on is to take another Bible passage and we'll toss it into the mix from Revelation chapter 6. So in Revelation chapter 6, we hear how it says that here, the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? So the idea that there are people in the world who are afraid of the possibility or the thought, if they really think of it, of Christ coming, I think plays into this. So you have movies where, you know, the alien shows up and they see it as being wrathful and hostile, and what do people do? They fight against it. They want to do something. In the case of Scripture, hide us. We don't want to see even the face of Christ. For the Christian, during the season of Advent, we focus on how beautiful and glorious and awesome it's going to be when we do see Christ's face. That'll happen on the last day. But even if our last day should come prior to the last day, we can trust that Christ will come to us and take us to himself, and we will see his face. So for the Christian, Advent is a time of excitement, and the idea of a last day, a final judgment in Christ, is not something to be feared the way the world would fear it. And I think that fear is, of course, the center of all of these alien, invasion movies. So viewers can kind of maybe tuck all of that away in their mind as they think about this particular movie.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
This Week in Pop American Christianity is on the other side of the break. On this Thursday afternoon, Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us. He's bringing samples from what's called the Elijah List. It's a place where, well, where charismatics go online to hear the latest and the most influential prophetic voices, or so they believe. We'll see what they're saying after this.
Just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come listen to Drs. Alvin Schmidt and Roland Elke at the 3rd Annual Concordia Apologetics Conference, Cultures in Collision, Faith and a Fractured World, this March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can register online at www.cuw.edu/apologetics or call 262-243-4343. That's the Concordia Apologetics Conference, March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.